Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Many of us have heard the term, the grace of God, and we would challenge each of our listeners this evening with the question, what does that term mean to you? What, in fact, is the grace of God? In this evening's broadcast, Pastor Brian Grant will take us once again to the book of Ephesians to hear in the Apostle Paul's own words what the grace of God is all about. We will hear Pastor Grant describe, again from the very words of Scripture, why it is that God's grace is absolutely essential to every living person, whether they know it or not. So, if you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, the miracle of grace. Here now is Pastor Grant.
After 9 months awaiting the arrival of her new baby, Mrs. White was now worried because she thought something was seriously wrong. The baby had been very active inside her womb, but all of a sudden the baby had gone totally still. The baby had been totally still for over 2 hours, and so she told her husband, "Dennis, I think something is wrong." He rushed her to the hospital. They connected her to monitors, and after about an hour, the doctor came to see them, and the doctor had some bad news. The doctor said, "Mr. and Mrs. White, I'm sorry to tell you, but the baby is dead." Mr. White was blown away. "How can that be? How can our baby be dead?" The doctor said, I don't know what happened. It's hard to explain. We really don't have an explanation, to be honest. But he said, there is no heartbeat. He said, I've examined the baby. I had 3 other nurses and another doctor check. There was no heartbeat. He said, we've connected the baby to 2 monitors, and they have both flatlined for 5 minutes. He said, I'm sorry to tell you, there is no doubt your baby's dead. You can imagine, they were blown away. They hugged each other, cried. The physician and the nurses started delivering the dead baby. They were working feverishly for about 15 minutes. And all of a sudden, something unexpected happened. And the doctor said, this is impossible. The baby had peed on him. And a dead baby cannot pee. God had done a miracle. This true story is from the book When God Happens by Angela Hunt. And the reality is, God is doing some amazing miracles in our generation. And this morning I want to talk to you about what I believe might be the most amazing miracle that God is doing in our generation. I'm speaking to you this morning on the theme, the miracle of grace. You see, by the miracle of grace, God is giving everlasting life, and he's making them heaven's royalty. Oh, I don't want you to miss that. Did you get what I'm saying? That God is giving everlasting life to the spiritually dead, and is making us part of heaven's royalty through the miracle of grace. Thank God for grace. This morning I want to share with you 3 things, share 3 points as we deal with this theme, the miracle of grace. And the first is the need for grace. The need for grace. You see, my friend, we were more messed up than we might have thought we were. In fact, the text here in Ephesians chapter 2, and for those of you who are here for the visiting with us, we've been taking our time going through the book of Ephesians, and here we now are at chapter 2. The text tells us, listen, number 1, we were all dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive who were what? Who were dead in trespasses and sins. And when the Bible says dead, it means dead. We were dead. We were living corpses. You see, the most essential part of us was dead. When God made us, he made us a tripartite being. He gave us what? A body. He gave us a soul. And he gave us a spirit. You see, the body made us world conscious. The soul made us self-conscious. And the spirit made us God conscious. The most important aspect of our tripartite being was the spirit. Because it was only because God gave us a spirit that we can actually know God. It's because we have a spirit why we can have a relationship with God. But our spirits were dead. Because our spirits were dead, we had absolutely no way to know God or to have a relationship with God. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he said something to them. And some of you remember what he warned them. He warned them, the day that you sin, you shall surely die. And most of us know what happened. They did sin. The question is, did they die that day? You see, no hearse came to pick them up that day. But that day they died. You see, Brian, how could they die that day? Because they didn't even have children yet. It's after that they had all these children. They died in the most important way. They died spiritually. The day they ate, they surely died. They died spiritually. And that very day, there was a separation of the relationship between them. God, and that very day they were put out of the garden. And I want you to know that since that time, every human being that has been born spiritually dead without a relationship with God. Now don't blame Adam and Eve, because you done your sin too. You have shown your solidarity with Adam and Eve because since you were born, you have done enough sinning by yourself. Am I right about that? So because of that, we were all spiritually dead. And so Ephesians chapter 2, it's interesting. Ephesians chapter 1 starts by telling us we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. It takes us to the pinnacle. And Ephesians chapter 2 just reminds us a little bit of where we are coming from. No wonder the choir sing, when I think what God has done for me, hallelujah, the miracle of grace has touched me. But I was dead. I had no possibility of a relationship with God on my own terms. Because we were spiritually dead, we could not have a relationship with God. We were dead. Some people have a hard time believing that. Perhaps you're here this morning and you said, Pastor, how dare you tell me I'm dead? How dare you tell me I can't have a relationship with God? Because I'm having a good relationship with God. In fact, I prayed one day. I got a prayer through. I prayed one day and God did answer my prayer. I can have a relationship with God even though I'm not saved. You know, some years ago, my wife was hired by a funeral home to come and do the hair of a dead body. She was to come and do the, prepare the hair, style the hair for the funeral. Well, it paid good money and she wanted to help me out. And you know, sometimes one of the things she was sure of, it would be a quiet afternoon. You know, sometimes hairdressing salons can be quite noisy. Ever been there? There's sometimes a lot of talking. But one thing my wife knew, there would be no talking this day. It would be a quiet time. So she was there by herself and she started doing the hair. Everything was going well. Until suddenly something unexpected happened. The body moved. Can you imagine the dead body moved while she was doing the hair? But do you know that although that body had shown some sign that might look like life, do you know that body was as dead could be. And do you know that although you might think you are alive, if you don't know Jesus, come on now, you are spiritually as dead can be. You see, you said, oh, I got through a prayer. My friend, I want you to realize that my Bible tells me that God has no obligation to answer any prayer of the unsaved. Listen, the only prayer that God is obligated and he has obligated himself to answer is the prayer of repentance, where you come to him and you said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart. And God has obligated himself to answer that prayer. And it is my prayer that somebody here this morning might make a decision for the first time. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and give life to my dead spirit.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
We were spiritually dead. We were all spiritually dead. But secondly, we were all depraved. Let's look back at our text in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Don't miss that. Number one, the spiritually dead follow the world. You see that? We walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Do you know who the prince of the power of the air is? Satan himself. It goes on to explain. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Listen, the spiritually dead follow the world. They follow Satan, among whom also we all conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. The spiritually dead, they follow Satan, they follow the world, they try to satisfy their own lusts. You know, when I was in college, my sociology professor said to me, he said to the class, he said, all men are born good. He said, what makes some people turn out bad is the socialization process. In other words, the experiences you have as a child, people you meet, the experiences you have. He said, we were all born good, but what messes us up is our socialization process. And God says, baloney. God says our problem is that we are all born spiritually dead. And because we're dead, we do what dead people do. And what dead, spiritually dead people do, spiritually dead people, they follow the world, they follow Satan, and they go and do their own lusts. And I want to tell you, following Satan and following your own lust is a deadly combination. You see, none of us know how bad we could really be. And I want you to listen, particularly some who are younger. Oy, listen, us old folks need to listen too, because none of us realize how bad we could really be. Do you know that Joseph Stalin, when he was 15 years old, he won a half scholarship to a Christian school, a Greek Orthodox school. At 15 years of age, Joseph Stalin had opportunities and was exposed to the gospel of Jesus. But Joseph Stalin, the word of God had absolutely no impact on him. He never received Jesus Christ. He never received spiritual life. And as a result of his rejection, Joseph Stalin went on to be one regarded as one of the 15 most wicked people in history. Stalin killed over 20 million people. In fact, one time Stalin, the death of one person is a tragedy. The death of a million people is just a mere statistic. A million deaths didn't matter a row of beans to him. I want to say to you, my friend, we have no idea how disgusting, how depraved we could really be. And here's what Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9, and I'm going to put it on the screen to make sure we all see it. In Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9, the word of God tells us the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. I don't want you to miss that. That's why when you run around telling me, I'm going to do what my heart tells me, you better think again, because the Bible says the most deceitful thing is the human heart. No wonder people can look you in the eye and lie through their noses. Have you ever noticed people can do that? Because the Bible says the human heart is the most deceitful of all things, and it is desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? I'm so thanking God that he saved me at an early age. And I tell you, all of us who got saved at an early age this morning should be jumping and shouting hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Because only God knows how depraved you and I could really be. And I want to talk to some of you young people, because as I prepared this message, I thought of so many young people who have come through this church, who have heard the gospel of salvation, who have heard the word of God and have rejected it. And some of them, their lives are a total mess. And I want to say to some of you young people who are sitting on the fence, you're sort of like, I don't know if I really want to go God's way. I warn you, my friend, you have no idea how depraved you could be. You have no idea how messed up you could be. My Bible tells me the human heart is the most deceitful of all things, and it is desperately wicked. What a shame it would be this morning if one of you ended up one of the most wicked people like Stalin, having been exposed to the gospel of Christ. But this morning you could say, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. It's not just salvation, come on now, because some of you are saved, but you're not committed to following Jesus. And this is the day, this is the hour when God is calling and he's saying, it's time to follow me. Listen, the text tells us we were all dead. We were all depraved. You know, some of you, I'm sure you've experienced it, because I've experienced it myself. Have you ever found that there was a time in your life that you did something that you were so ashamed that you did it? But you did it again. And after a while, it didn't bother you as much. Has that ever happened to you? In fact, after a while, we do even worse things. We do worse things than the one that really bothered our conscience. After a while, we can do all sorts of things. And God is warning us that we are depraved. He says, listen, in our natural selves, we are only following the world, we're following the devil, and we're following our own lust. And those three, that's the most deadly combination you could ever imagine. And today God is calling you, young person, older person, he's calling you to salvation and to a life of commitment. The third, the need for grace. As we talk about the need for grace, we were all doomed. And in the end of verse 3, the Apostle Paul, he tells us under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he says, we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. You see, sometimes we feel the only people who are doomed are the really bad people. The terrorists and the child molesters and the mass murderers. But what this passage is saying, every dead person is doomed. You see it? Just like the others. He says, you're doomed just like the others. God's wrath, God's judgment was hanging over your head. Listen, let me personalize it. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's judgment, God's wrath is hanging over your head, just like it is hanging over anyone who has not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. But hallelujah. All that could change today, amen? Oh, got to change today as you come to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. John's Gospel chapter 3 verse 18 tells us, he who believes is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. You see, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven or to hell to stand before God. It says, if you don't believe, you're condemned already because you do not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But hallelujah, the Spirit of God is at work this morning, and he's touching somebody's heart. And he's saying to you, come to Jesus. Come. Point number one, the need for grace. But thank God, that's not the whole story. Point number two, the provision of grace. The provision of grace. Amen. An atheist. The atheist said to his friend, he said, if there is a God, I dare him to prove his existence by striking me dead right now. And guess what happened? Nothing. He waited a moment. God didn't strike him dead. And so he made the big pronouncement. He said to his friend, you see, that proves there is no God, because if he's God, there was a God, he would strike me dead. The friend looked at him and said, John, God is. Aren't you glad God is a gracious God? Can we worship him this morning for being such a gracious God? That despite the fact that we were dead, we were depraved, we were doomed. Boy, oh boy, the passage changes in verse number 4 with two incredible words of grace. I don't know if you see the link of grace. We're after telling us how depraved and dead and doomed we were. In verse 4, it says, but God did not squish us. When we were at the lowest of the low, when we were as depraved as could be, but God, and the verse continues, but God, who is rich in mercy for his what? For his great love with which he loved us. Aren't you glad Jesus loves you? Hallelujah, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Sometimes it's hard to know whether people love you or not. You know, this lady woke up one Valentine's morning. She had a dream, and she woke up and she said to her husband, she says, honey, I just had an amazing dream. She said, I dreamt that you bought me a beautiful pearl necklace for Valentine's Day. It was Valentine's Day. She said to him, what do you think the dream means? The husband looked at her and he says, don't worry, honey, don't worry, honey. Tonight, you'll find out what the dream means. So later that night, she was quite excited because he's going to show her what the dream means that night. And so he presented her with a beautifully wrapped package. Can you imagine the excitement? She's unwrapping the package. It looks like a book, but she knew that concealed in that book was the necklace. But her heart fell when she saw the title of the book. The title of the book was The Meaning of Dreams. There was no necklace.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It would certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.